When it comes to Jonah, pretty much everyone knows about the big fish. But do you know what happens in the story after that? This is going to be our focus today as we look at the third of the four chapters in the book, and we've just heard it read. Together this morning, we will consider the character of God that we encounter in this narrative. Jonah is a very interesting and subtle story when you get into the details. And I do encourage you to make it a priority to come next Sunday when we will focus on Jonah's heart and attitude in the final chapter of the book. There's much to reflect upon there for our own hearts. But let's pray now as we begin. Heavenly Father, we come seeking you, seeking knowledge of you. We open our hearts, asking that you would teach us from your scriptures. We ask, please, that you will give us a true picture of who you are. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. A quick recap of the story so far. God commanded Jonah, the prophet, to go and preach against the foreign city of Nineveh. But Jonah disobeys and he flees in the opposite direction. Looking at the map, we see that Jonah should have gone northeast up to Nineveh, but instead he went west. He takes a boat to flee from the commission and task that God has given. But God is sovereign, and he brings Jonah back by means of a storm and an unusual mode of transport, a fish submarine taxi. God's not going to let Jonah off the hook, and he reels Jonah back in. He fished him back by the means of a fish. And from this, we learn the simple but profound lesson that you can't run away from God because he's the Lord of the whole earth. The God of the Bible is not just a God of one department of life. No, he's Lord of all. And this brings us to our chapter for today. We're now moving into the second half of the story. And I've got 5 points this morning to give you a roadmap for this talk. The first is this: Nineveh Rewind. What is striking here is that the words at the beginning of chapter 3 are so similar to the beginning of the book. Here they are side by side on the screen. Jonah 1 verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Then Jonah 3 chapter 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. God has simply brought Jonah back to the beginning. In the game of Monopoly, you travel around the board and end up back at square one. You end up at back to go, don't you? And God brought Jonah back to square one and said to him, go. Jonah had to go through the terrible storm, the near-death experience in the fish's belly, just to come back to where he began. Now, Jonah's disobedience to God, to God's command, was so strong, he traveled a great distance to get away from Jerusalem and Nineveh. And in the light of this, we might perhaps think that God would say, all right, Jonah, you've made your complaint known, I'll let you off the hook and I'll get another prophet to do it. Presumably, God had other prophets available for the work. But no, God doesn't. He gives him the very same instruction that he gave him at the beginning. Go to the great city of Nineveh. And this time, Jonah does what God tells him to do. Chapter 3, verse 3. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, there's an important detail that I need to make sure you're clear about if you're going to understand the meaning of this story. And I mentioned it in my introduction to the first talk in this series. Jonah is an Israelite prophet, and he's part of the people of God. God made covenant promises to Abraham. And these were given, passed on to Abraham's descendants, the Israelites. Jonah is an Israelite. They were God's special chosen people, his covenant people. Many of you, of course, will know that. But here's the important detail. The Assyrians who lived in Nineveh were not Israelites. God is sending an Israelite prophet to preach to a foreign nation that was not part of God's covenant people. This is very significant. The Ninevites were idolaters. They worshipped multiple gods. Prominent in Nineveh were the goddess Ishtar and the god Nabu. The Ninevites were breakers of the most important of God's commandments. Have no other gods before me. Do not make or worship an idol. But even more than that, the Ninevites were the enemies of Israel. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And in the Old Testament book of Kings, you can see some of the details of the conflicts between Assyria and Israel. Gordon Fee describes Assyria as the most cruel empire in ancient history. The Assyrian king and the people of Nineveh were real baddies. So to help you to understand, let me try to give a contemporary parallel. Imagine that you're a Syrian Christian. You've seen your city destroyed by Salafi jihadists. People that you know have been killed in their attempt to bring true Sunni Islam to the country. You've had to flee the country that you love. Imagine God then asking you to return to share the gospel of his mercy and forgiveness with the Islamists. That gives us something of the picture and helps us to understand why Jonah fled God's commission. But in spite of Nineveh's wickedness, chapter 3 is about God's compassion towards violent Nineveh. This time, Jonah obeys God. He goes to Nineveh and he begins to preach around the city, verse 4. This was his message. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. Amazingly, the Ninevites respond to the message of a foreign prophet. The message comes to the king. He orders a fast. They put on sackcloth. Even the king does, and he sits in ashes. These were classic external signs of fasting and humble repentance. The king and the nobles issue a decree, verse 7. Do not let man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. God sent his prophet to Nineveh, and the Assyrians responded by humbling themselves. Even the king, even the animals are to fast. He calls on everyone to turn from evil and violence. God sees their repentance and he doesn't bring the destruction that he's threatened. God is gracious and compassionate towards the Ninevites. So we see here that God was not only interested in his people, the Israelites, but he has compassion towards the Assyrians as well. So I want us to consider the character of God in the book of Jonah, to see what it tells us about him and what this means for the way that we should live today. Point 3, the character of God in the book of Jonah. One of the goals of Christian discipleship is that you get the character of God right in your understanding and then live in response to what God is really like. Discipleship means having your understanding shaped by God's word, so that you follow God as he really is, rather than a pretend version of him. We want to have an integrated view of God that integrates the different biblical aspects of him that we see in the scriptures. God's character should shape the way that you think and speak and act, because God's character is the baseline of reality. He reveals himself to us in scripture, and we need to believe in the full revelation that he gives us. Tragically, many Christians never accept the full picture of God that scripture reveals. In Jonah, a number of aspects of God's character are highlighted. He's a judge of wickedness, chapter 1, verse 1. Preach against Nineveh because its wickedness has come up before me. But he's also compassionate, chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. And God is sovereign. God is in charge of Jonah. Jonah tries to flee, but God fishes him back from his great escape in order to fulfill his purposes. Each of us needs a view of God where these three aspects are believed and fully integrated. So for a moment, let's use an analogy, imagining that the different aspects of God's character are different parts of the light spectrum, as we can see on the screen. Here we have the different colours that light breaks down into. When they're all together, white light is created. We want to have a true picture of God where all the different aspects of his character are combined together in our understanding. And that is a great thing for you to pray for yourself and for your family, that you would have an integrated view of God's character. In this illustration, it's very fitting that when it all comes together, we get the colour white, which is seen as a colour of purity. And just to be clear here, I'm talking about light and not paint. When you mix paint together, they combine in a different way. So we're focusing on these three aspects of God's character from the book of Jonah. But there are, of course, more aspects of God's character that the Bible reveals. So imagine that the colour red represents God's judgment of wickedness. And imagine that his compassion and desire to forgive the wicked is the colour green. We need both of these colours in view if we're to build a true picture of God's character. When you mix red and green, when you mix judgment of wickedness and compassion on the wicked, you end up with a third colour, yellow, a just and compassionate God. And you see that yellow is a different God to a God who is only, say, red or green. When we put the two together, we end up with a different God from a God who is only just or only compassionate. Unless you believe both things, you don't really believe in the real God. If your picture of God only contains one of them, well, in fact, it's a false God, an idol. And that was Jonah's problem. He ran away from God's commission because he hated the Ninevites, and he didn't want them to repent. Jonah accepted a God who is a judge of wickedness, but he didn't accept God showing compassion and mercy to violent foreigners. So if you only long for God to judge your enemies, then you could be quite like Jonah. You would have a God who is the red circle. You won't want to share the offer of salvation through repentance with certain kinds of people. Now, in British culture at the moment, people with that kind of view is quite rare, I think. Much more likely among us than the people that we know is to only see God as compassionate the green circle. Many people today reject the idea that God will actually finally judge someone. Many reject the idea of hell, even though Jesus clearly teaches about it. And if you don't believe that God really judges people, and that there are serious consequences for not repenting from sinful behaviour, then you won't really be concerned to share the offer of salvation with your colleagues and neighbours. So if you only see God in this analogy as red or green, whichever it is, you will have a thin and ultimately untrue picture of God. We need red and green blended together to see God as both just and compassionate to the repentant. Then in the book of Jonah, we see that there's an emphasis on God's sovereignty. God is sovereign, meaning that he's really in charge of the world and our lives. There's no other authority behind God calling the shots. In the book of Jonah, he's presented as just and compassionate and actively in charge of the world. He will achieve his just and compassionate purposes. So when we put all three together, we end up with a just and compassionate God who's actively in charge of the world. That's the picture of God's character that we get from the book of Jonah. One of the key tasks of Christian discipleship is to let the word of God keep chipping away at your preconceptions so that you're moving more and more towards a biblically integrated understanding of God's character. And as we're shaped by his word, his self-revelation, we aim to move beyond simply accepting his character as true to the position where we love him as he is. We worship and honour him as he's revealed himself. Well, as you hear this, some of you may have the question in your mind, isn't the God of the New Testament different to the God of the Old Testament? Isn't the character of God revealed in the New Testament different to the Old? Perhaps you've met someone who believes that God's character in Jesus is different to that of the more harsh Old Testament God. It is a popular view. In response, I would say that the message of God's character is the same in both Testaments. And let's think briefly about the most famous, perhaps the most famous verse in the New Testament, as we consider this, John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here we see the same dynamic as we see revealed in the book of Jonah. God sent Jonah to Nineveh because of his compassion. God later sent Jesus because of his compassionate love for the world. He sent Jonah because he didn't want the Assyrians to perish under his right judgment. He sent his only son, Jesus, because he doesn't want us to perish under his right judgment. The character of God is consistent through the Old and New Testament. And with the coming of Jesus Christ, we now know that the ultimate expression of God's compassion, justice, and sovereignty is found in the cross of Jesus. When Jesus hung on the cross, God's justice was poured upon him. Through the death of his precious Son, God was just and compassionate at the same time. God's justice and compassion were brought together in the death of Jesus on the cross. So Jesus, God himself, received his justice, and through that we can receive God's compassion. This is why the cross is so wonderful and why it's at the heart of the Christian faith and at the heart of understanding God's character, what he's really like. The character of God is the same in the Old and New Testaments. Well, as we come to the end of this sermon, the follow-on from believing the truth about God's character is that we live and act in harmony with who he really is. So the message from the book of Jonah for us today is this: believe and live out the character of God. Believe and live out the character of God. We are meant to learn from Jonah's mistake. God is concerned for the salvation of all sorts of people, even the very worst, the cruelest, like the Ninevites. He brings judgment, but he is compassionate and merciful, bringing a call to repentance. We can be confident that he is in charge of the world, even when terrible things happen around us. So our prayer response from this Bible book must be something like this. Heavenly Father, help me to trust your sovereignty. Give me a heart of compassion for those who are facing your judgment, even for my enemies. Shape my heart and mind that I might express your character in the way that I live. God now brings his compassion to the world through the church, by which I mean us here. God uses us, the church, to proclaim both the message of his judgment and the message of his compassionate salvation through Jesus. So the tough question to ask yourself this morning is this: do I have the same compassion as God? Do I have the same heart as God? He did the very costly thing of sending his only son to death on the cross because of his compassion. Will you show the same compassion by using your time, your energy, your money, and your talents to help people discover the good news of salvation from God's judgment? Will you be a bringer, an inviter, bringing people to church and to the different ministries that we run? And of course, Christianity Explored is a great opportunity for people to hear the gospel. As a community of God's people with different gifts and talents, we want to believe and live out the character of God. And we're not just concerned for the people within our community, like Jonah was. We also have compassion for those who are outside, and especially for those in our parish in Fordham and Atash Green. So let's turn to prayer. We'll have a moment of quiet, and then I'll lead us in the prayer which I just said a few moments ago. A moment of quiet for you to reflect and pray on your own. I'm going to pray this prayer slowly, and I'll leave a pause after each line so that you can echo it in your heart if you would like to. Heavenly Father, help me to trust your sovereignty. Give me a heart of compassion for those who are facing your judgment, even for my enemies. Shape my heart and mind that I might express your character in the way that I live. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're going to respond in worship now, singing two songs. And the first of those is Restore, O Lord, the Honour of Your Name, number 579.